We're back for 2019. Welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, illicit drugs, AFLX, JLT, and our predictions for the year.
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh! The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, listeners. It is early
2019.
I was going to say it was early February, but it's now late February 2019, and we're nearly into early March 2019. It is the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are back with you for another season.
Thankfully.
Of ebbing, flowing, waxing, waning.
A million controversies.
Surging, resting.
And I'll tell you, Duff, I reckon grand final came and went. We're all exhausted, and we think, thank goodness that's over. And I reckon we get to first week of January. I reckon it's the absolute latest, and you're like, oh, God, I miss footy. I miss footy.
You know, they should have gone after a new major sponsor this year, the AFL.
Yep.
They should have been sponsored by Vicks, because this season is going to be all about clearing congestion.
Oh, very good. I like it.
And Quarters, we are just days away now from the JLT Community Series.
We are. And already we're embroiled in it. There's a lot of spec about the illicit drugs policy.
That's like a Hardy's own annual now, isn't it?
It is.
The illicit drugs
thing. You know, and I've got to say, I've always been a strong proponent of the existing policy. If in that, how it treats the person with the problem. So I didn't have any problem with not naming and shaming them after two strikes. However, I think it's morphed into something else now, and I get it now, and I think it's time to look at it, provided, obviously, it's an AFL voluntary. They volunteer for this, so it's going to be very carefully tiptoed around, but they need to come up with something a bit more pertinent to today's problems.
I'm not sure that there's been many honest conversations about the drugs issue.
Between whom?
Between everybody, and that includes us in the media. I think I look around and I see what I see, and I'm a 55-year-old person, and I think drugs are everywhere in our society. And I think some people don't take them, and some people experiment with them, and some people have taken them occasionally, and some people take them regularly, and some people develop serious issues from them. Now, I'm not saying it's right to take illegal drugs. I'm just saying I'm not sure that many people involved in this debate, like Nick Riewoldt, didn't notice many drugs being taken when he's playing, but now it's a real problem. I would have thought it's about the same problem it was then.
I reckon they're cheaper and nastier. That would be my take on it now. Easier to get, cheaper and nastier.
Yeah, well, you're talking about one drug in particular.
I am talking about meth, yes.
Meth, yeah.
Well, it's rife. I mean, meth is commonly used, and if we're going to be honest about it.
And it's the worst one.
Exactly.
And it's cheaper, the one that's cheaper, most likely to give you a problem.
It's cheap and it's nasty.
Yeah.
And it's a family wrecker and it's a life wrecker. And, you know, I'm not saying any other drugs aren't bad, but this one seems to be the one that's captivated us and is the most addictive.
I don't know what they do, because I think they have to get – they probably have to tighten the policy a little bit, but – I'm not sure. It puts the AFL players in an interesting situation, because I don't think they're going to have much credibility if they try and walk away from the – even though they volunteered, and even though they volunteered on the basis that there was going to be a medical approach, and basically you were trying to identify people who had problems and try and address those problems before they got out of hand. And I do tend to think that Nick Riewoldt has a point when he says that players are taking advantage – of the fact that it is a medical approach, and they're doing their partying at the end of season. And I'm using the term players generically there. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of players who would not take drugs.
Of course.
But there are a significant number now that do, and they do it because of the high amount of discipline required in season. They tend to let their hair down in the off-season.
We're not talking about 50-year-olds either, Duff. We're talking about, you know, young men.
Well, I think
young men and women. And, you know, and the fact is, if you can come back and be hair tested and found positive and nothing becomes of it,
yeah.
I think that he's right. It can be a free-for-all if you look at it that way. And I love the fact that Nick Riewoldt has thrown this out there, because you're right, we do need to be more honest about this subject, and we need to get it on the table now. And it's going to be up to the AFLPA. They volunteered this illicit drug policy in the first place. And I'm sure that they're smart enough to be able to at least have a look at it.
So philosophically, should the AFL be playing the role of doctor and policeman in this area?
But I think there are people out there who can, and I think clubs need to be more closely involved with it. I do think there are people at clubs who that has to be their sole responsibility. So they take themselves out of the got to win on match day scenario. They're looking at the players' welfare totally, and I think there are people good enough. I think when you look at within a club, they are small communities and they do care about each other, and I think perhaps there's a lot to be said about that, whether they should be that the information should be more readily available to the clubs at every level.
This is a hard one, I think, for the AFL, because there are a lot of potential compromises and conflicts involved in this, aren't there? Like a doctor is bound by ethical standards,
yep,
and the Hippocratic Oath and all that sort of thing. He's also paid by the club.
Mm. At the end of the day, though, you erase all of that. It's about the health of young men and women. That's what it's about.
Yeah, in theory.
Yeah, it should be. It should be in practice as well.
In theory, I think. I don't know. It's a difficult one. I don't believe there's a right answer. I believe that this time next year, you and I will hopefully relaunch the Duff and Quarters podcast for another season, and we will have exactly the same conversation,
yeah,
because someone will have raised it and they will believe it's worse than it was last year. I'm not sure that it is. I agree with you that meth's a horrible, horrible, horrible drug. But I think, you know, when we were growing up, there was a lot of excessive drinking went on. There was a lot of smoking went on. And there was a lot of marijuana passed around at parties. And I think that, you know, we do have short memories when it comes to stuff like that.
Still players who smoke, which shocks me. I remember Jezza smoking at quarter time and three quarter time out on the field.
Blighty.
Malcolm Blight. Rumour has it that he used
allegedly.
Allegedly. Very sourced, very close to one of the Adelaide players. So Darren Jarman and Matthew Robin were apparently with Blighty at halftime of Adelaide games at Football Park. Used to go outside the actual stadium. They had a special little spot at halftime, have a couple of darts and talk tactics for the second half.
Okay, we've had the discussion about drugs. I think we're due for an argument, and I think we're going to have one about this. AFLX, Glenn.
Oh, we might.
I know you're a pro, and I'm definitely a con.
It's, when I say a pro, I mean, I just don't see that it's offensive at all. Blink and it's over in 3 or 4 hours. I mean, I just think you've got to try and develop a product. You've got to keep moving. You can't be static. Keep moving. And I think with AFLX, it's not perfect, but keep developing it over years and years and years, and you'll settle on something that you can take to a rectangular sport overseas to a new audience. It's not for rusted on AFL people. Look, if you didn't want to watch it, you watch My Kitchen Rules or whatever else you want to watch on a Friday night. But it was, as I said, blinking, it's over. And I actually didn't mind it, to be honest. It was just something a bit different, and you move on to the next thing.
I don't have any problem with that. I think that they need a product that they can take to New South Wales and Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
They're the initial markets, I think, that are really critical for this, and play it on rugby fields or soccer pitches and have not as many players required to make up a team. All that stuff I'm totally with you on.
Yep.
My problem is getting your Group 1 horses to do it on the eve of the Melbourne Cup. And look, we know there's no body contact.
Half
and we know they
didn't.
Ran around about three-quarter pace, which waters down the quality of the product, by the way. But still, if you do this five times, once or twice, a player will land awkwardly or he'll run a bit too hard for a bit too long, and you'll have a guy with a hamstring torn off the bone or a bloke with an ACL.
Well,
and that person will be an important player for his club.
Tom Mitchell broke both bones in his leg, first practice match of the season.
Mitchell was training at Hawthorn, preparing for Hawthorn season. This is promoting a product for the AFL at risk to your club who pay you hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You've also got an obligation to the AFL, though. You're promoting the code. That's part of your contract. And I see no problem with this 3 foot. Treat it as another training session. Get some, you know, endurance into your legs. Really. I mean, just back off during the week. There's your training session. I just don't see a problem with it. I think you can injure yourself in any form.
You can, but the other injuries you incur in pre-season are preparing for your club season.
Well, I'm arguing that this is part of the preparation.
No, it's not.
Well, it is. You're out there.
It's a bit of kick and giggle.
Well, so is...
You might as well go down the park for a bit of kick to kick.
Well, so are certain training sessions early on. I mean, all part of the whole big picture.
You look at the limitations that clubs impose on players. You know, they're not allowed to ride motorbikes. They're not allowed to do this.
They're not allowed to water ski.
Well, we all know how that ended up, too.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. You can't put them in cotton
Nothing
wool.
Nothing can go wrong here, Virginia.
Well, you know, you can't put them in cotton wool. And again, I mean, they've got to have lives. They're young men and women.
They do have lives.
Yeah.
Those lives don't have to include absolutely everything they want to do when they want to do it. They're paid a lot of money.
Yes, they are.
And that money is paid for them to be professional footballers playing critical roles.
So let's take
for the club that pays that
let's
money.
Take water skiing out of it, because that probably was a step too far or a ski too far.
But since when does water ski? See, my point is this. Danger lurks where you don't expect it. Water skiing is not an overly dangerous sport.
Oh, geez, it is when I do it. I don't know. He's a trick skier, though, isn't he, Ollie Wines? We're talking about Ollie Wines.
Which probably means he's good at it, which probably means it's not that dangerous for him. It's probably more dangerous for you.
Every chance to land on your head, though, which is what he obviously did.
I'm likely to swallow 10 gallons of water trying to get up out of the water.
Back in the day when I did go over a water ski jump, but that's another story. I have no problem with AFLX. I enjoyed it for what it was. I can't say I was captivated, but I watched it. I enjoyed it. It's something different, and it's over before you even think about it.
Well, I watched it to see if anyone got injured.
Yeah. No.
Which didn't make it a particularly enjoyable experience.
There were a couple of hangs, a couple of long goals. You know, I didn't mind the Gatorade game changer. I tell you what, that would be interesting to throw into the mix in the season proper. Nominate a player and you score double. Anyway, just a thought. These things, this is why you trial these things. I'm not saying you're going to adopt them in the season proper, but it's a bit of fun.
Yeah, well, we're not in complete disagreement on this. Yeah. We have no problem with the product. I just have a problem with them getting their best players to run around and promote it on the eve of the season. I think there are better ways to do it. I think it's a ridiculous argument that we can't play State of Origin because it puts players at risk, but we can play this.
Now, before we get onto the JLT, Duff, the almost fair dinkum serious footy, the almost. We should point out we are again sponsored by Tab Touch, so thanks for your sponsorship, and of course always bet responsibly. And also, just to reintroduce our fantastic tipping and pick 7 in the game. Now, if you register at thegame.com.au before March 12, pretty good prize on offer, Duff. It's 2 premium seats with hospitality to any home game this year, every home game this year at Optus Stadium. Not bad.
Very good. One of the great stadiums of the world. 2 good teams running around in one of the great sporting competitions of the world. That would be a fantastic thing to win.
So you've got to get in before March 12. Get in, but that's the key. Get in now.
Thegame.com.au. Get on there and register for your tipping and your pick 7.
Now, JLT, before we get into the specific teams, local teams, Eagles and Dockers, what are you looking forward to the most with the new rule changes? You know, the 6-6-6, a few tweaks here and there, kickouts, players standing further back, ruckman, no prior, all of that sort of stuff. What are you looking forward to most?
What I want to see is whether coaches try and develop methods and mechanisms in the JLT Community Series, or whether they're going to try and keep them up their sleeve.
Oh, up their sleeve.
Until round one. Because, one, you have to practice them. But, two, if you've got something you think can work and really take advantage of situations, you don't really want to tip the competition.
That's what closed sessions are for.
Well, they've got to be for something.
Or unknown sessions that aren't closed sessions. But the actual, I don't know if we'll see too much in the JLT, but look, I'm really interested to see what I hope. I'll tell you what I hope happens. With the after the goal's kicked, you have your 6-6-6. I really do hope that we see some form of, you know, one-on-ones re-entering the competition. I do think there'll be a greater scoring. And I think that hopefully we see the return of the high-scoring key forward. And I really do hope we see a few one-on-ones, some isolated battles that you go to the footy to watch. Nothing wrong with the game. It's a great game. But I do miss those one-on-ones being more common. You know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that was one of the things that when you're talking about AFLX, one of the good things about AFLX is when a player like Fife went forward and got manned up like by a player like Phil Davis, and the ball was going in long, and it was Fife v Phil Davis one-on-one in the air.
So we're going to see more of that, and I'm really salivating. I think we will. Certainly you will. I mean, they still get numbers behind the ball in the general course of a game, of course, but you won't see it after goals kicked. If they can get it down there pretty quickly, it's going to be really interesting.
So what we saw, I saw West Coast play their intra-club on Friday morning from behind a fence at Lathlane Park.
Comfortable? Did you take a little fold-out seat?
Actually, it was really good.
Thermos?
Because I think back in the old days when Perth supporters in the glory days of the 70s, when they used to get 10,000 people there, and people used to stand outside the ground and watch. They had a little sort of a wooden plank that was about the right height to lean on just outside the fence. So we all leaned on that and watched. We had quite a good view of the game from behind the goals at the northern end. Now, West Coast always played what they call a spitter last year. A player was often Jamie Cripps or Mark Lecroix, who came off the back of the square and would surge through the stoppage at the centre bounce, trying to create movement and uncertainty for the opponent. Obviously, you can't do that this year with the set positions.
Yep.
They were trying that same role with a player going up from the forward line to the wing, which was interesting. But I was talking to a couple of them afterwards, and they don't think it works because if that person gets caught in the wrong spot, there are too many holes in too many places for them to be able to defend effectively. So we'll see a few things like that.
Yeah.
I didn't notice too many things overt about that it will change, but I think you're right. The coaches will be saving their best moves until round one. The kick out, Shannon Hearn and Lewis Jetta should have a longest drive competition.
Oh, yeah.
So you can get the ball
kick out's
going to
be really interesting, isn't it? Kicking out this year, and it's going to take it to a new level as well.
So I reckon every club will have two specialists, and one of those two will take the kick out, and it will be about maximum distance. Get the ball as far away from your defensive goal as you can and make the opposition think about defending from the kick-in.
No, there's so many fascinating evolutions from these rule changes that are going to happen this year, and almost counteractively what the coaches do during the course of the year. It's going to be great.
So West Coast play Geelong, of course. That's the first game that
Friday at Leaderville Oval.
Carlton versus Essendon at Icon Park on Thursday.
Joey Danaher's return.
Yes,
good to see.
Long-awaited return,
and we're looking forward to Sam Walsh. I think he's going the Carlton's number one pick. I think what we've seen so far, very minimum footage, obviously, but he's going to be a walk-up start and a really good footballer, and obviously will be very much in the running for the rising star. Looking forward to see him as well.
So a couple of young stars that have made an impact in the inter-club practice matches we've seen so far.
Yep.
Quarters, Isaac Rankin, very impressive for Gold Coast in their hit out against Brisbane.
Yep.
And also I heard in that game a person from the previous draft and a person who will generate some local interest, Will Powell.
Oh, yes.
The Claremont product, apparently.
Nothing of him too last year when he was drafted. What was he? 48 kilos dripping wet. Yeah.
He was very impressive, apparently, and really staked a claim for at least a berth in the early JLT Community Series matches. Now, Adam Simpson spoke this morning out at Lathlane Park, and what you can expect to see on Friday, if you are a West Coast fan, expect to see Jeremy McGovern playing limited game minutes, but playing. Elliot Yeo playing limited game time, but playing. Luke Shuey on managed time, but playing. No Josh Kennedy, but expected to be ready for round one. No Jamie Cripps, not expected to be ready for round one.
So we won't see Josh Kennedy for JLT 2 for the Eagles, for the Dockers game?
He thought more likely not, but they believe that barring any further setbacks, he will be ready for round one. Interestingly,
is that part of the deloading?
That's right up there with hamstring awareness, isn't it?
Hamstring awareness, but as you pointed out, he's aware he's got a hamstring. And we think it's stuffed.
Yeah, we're aware it's torn. Yeah, exactly. No, I think they think barring a set. But the interesting thing about Josh is that officially they're calling it a shoulder, but they're very impressed with how well he's running. I'm not too sure what a shoulder's got to do with that. So I suspect Josh has had something further down the body than his
shoulder. There's a lot of builders very busy at this time of year too. There's so many players who are training the house down.
Training the house down. Demolition experts.
You hear some rippers this time of year, you really do.
You do. Now,
best preseason ever, Duff. Best preseason ever.
It always is.
He's bulked up.
It always is.
Yeah.
He's got a great relationship with the coach, who he will have a fight with in 8 weeks' time.
He has in February.
after he's torn his hamstring for the third time. The young players we will see from West Coast, expect Jack Petrocelli to play. He'd kick 4 goals in the second half.
So he's been pretty impressive in the preseason, apparently.
Yep, Simo was very happy with him. Jared Brander, who we saw kick 3 goals in the first half before getting a corked hip pointer, expect him to run around for West Coast. Also, Oscar Allen. Simo kind of alluded to the notion that Allen, Brander and Jake Waterman are sort of in a three-way duel for that second tall forwards berth if JK doesn't get up for round one. So that's going to be an interesting
one. Now tell me, where do you see Josh Smith fitting in? Apparently he's had a good preseason. He's impressed and surprised.
I think he plays.
Comes as a defender, can play midfield. Where is he going to go?
I think he plays on a wing, and I think he's probably locked in battle for with people like a Chris Maston, who's had an interrupted preseason, and a couple of those other outside mids that West Coast have for a berth. Simpson said both he and Tom Hickey probably play on Friday night, but whether that means they're going to be still in the mix come round one, that will be. I think he's a depth midfielder. I think Hickey will play because I think they'll go with the two ruck model again. And until Nick Natanui gets back, I think that will be Tom Hickey and Nathan Vardy. Down the road at Fremantle, obviously Harley Bennell, more calf issues, no fresh injury.
Well, no calf injury, what we hear.
So he felt something and was concerned about it. The club thought he might have done it again, sent him off for scans, and basically there's no fresh injury, which is on the one hand good, because obviously it shortens the period of time before he's back training at a reasonable load, but it's also a great worry that he's now sort of so paranoid about hurting it again.
That was my point, Duff. Are we now in a situation where that's got to be addressed because he's gun shy of the calf?
Yeah, I think what happened too, when he was doing the running, they advised that he do a certain amount, and because Harley's impatient to get to the level where he feels he can play, he pushed it a bit and went a bit over and above what they wanted him to do. And so maybe caused the discomfort and maybe led him to believe, oh, well, I've blown it again here by doing too much. Stephen Hill, I think, if anything, ahead of schedule on his way back from the quad surgery.
So a possibility for round one.
Possibility for round one.
So let's look at that midfield, Duff. You've got your mix. You've got your Cheras, Brayshaws, Ed Langdon, Gyro, Rhys Conker perhaps coming into that.
So Rhys Conker's another one, had an infected knee and had to have intravenous antibiotics, which meant he had to have the thing that they put in your arm so you can just hook yourself up to the antibiotic or get hooked up to the antibiotics. That meant he had to be pulled out of training for a week. He's supposed to be back in training late this week. They come back on Thursday, I believe, Fremantle, from a short break, getting ready for their match on Monday, which is against Collingwood at Joondalup. So it'll be interesting to see whether he gets up for that. Of course, Nathan Fyfe having surgery today, which I think is just draining the bursa.
So nothing serious but necessary this time of the year.
There's a chance that he trains on Thursday. They're pretty hopeful that he plays.
You'd probably play JLT too, you'd think.
Well, at least one, possibly two of the JLT.
So maybe not one, maybe not next week, but the following Sunday.
I think they still think he's a chance to play on Monday. The other interesting things about Fremantle's intra-club, which was on Friday, was Griffin Logue, very impressive as a defender. Looks to have come back from that foot problem really well.
Sean too. The locks are gone. Apparently.
Yes, he is. Yes. Different looking bloke, but he's still a monster of a bloke. He's like just a very big, strong athlete.
And we forget, missed the whole year. So we just forget. When we're doing our calculations, it's interesting, we do our calculations late last year, and you tend to forget him because he's just been out of the mix that year. We forget there's a very talented young footballer there who's going to be fresh.
Adam Chera was really impressive playing through the midfield.
He's just impressive.
Yeah, classy player. Andrew Brayshaw, nice and solid as he pretty much has been.
And the new streamlined Brandon Matera, sans the sugar, I believe.
He's giving up lollies. I wonder if the club dietitian had a word to him about, you might have wanted to give up lollies about 5 years ago.
Sacrifice Brandon.
But anyway, he's
onto the diet coke.
They're quite impress
off the Coke.
I think it's Pepsi Max.
Under the Diet Coke. Yeah, yeah. Pepsi Max. Yeah.
They've been quite impressed with Brandon Matera, and he was okay the other day. He was sort of playing midfield a bit and mainly forward. They will play Michael Walters through the midfield. They'll run a rotation with Nathan Fyfe, David Mundy and Walters, which I think is an important thing for them, because with the injuries to their midfield, with Connor Blakely out, Stephen Hill doubtful, and obviously Lachie Neale departed, it'll be important they can get experienced bodies through there. Reece Conker will be important there. Don't rule out Travis Collier running through there as well.
And Connor Blakely's a fair way off.
Yeah, I would thought at least round 6 or 7 for Connor Blakely.
And notwithstanding, the Fremantle forward line is going to hold a fascination for everybody too now with Hogan and Loft.
So Hogan, their use of Hogan was interesting, and maybe it was just to get him involved in the play, but he went into a number of centre square stoppages during the intra-club on Friday afternoon down at Coburn.
He's done at Melbourne sparingly.
Yeah. He certainly gave them a good imposing target to kick at. He kicked 2 goals, didn't clunk any big marks. He nearly took a couple.
But got to the contest.
Lobb was your forward ruck, as we expected him to be. The rest of Fremantle still, I think, a work in progress. They're still working out where the parts fit, I think, you know. What do they do with Cam McCarthy? What do they do with Brennan Cox?
Yeah.
You know, all those questions, I think, still to be answered.
So Cox, perhaps, intercept defender. McCarthy, I'm just not sure where he fits at the moment.
Well, I think one of McCarthy, Cox and Tabana plays as the third forward.
Tabana.
Well, Tabana's ahead at the moment, clearly. Mm. One, he's been re-signed ahead of the others. And two, he would have been the most impressive during the pre-season. And that's not to say that Cam McCarthy hasn't worked hard. Cam McCarthy looks lighter and fitter than he has been. But certainly of that trio the other day, Tabana was the most impressive, and you'd expect him to get first crack at it against the Pies on Monday.
Other games, mate, this weekend worth talking about. We've got Carlton Essendon, we mentioned. Looking forward to Joe Danaher getting back in the action. I'll tell you what, just let's go out on a limb here. Let's give me your grand final. You don't have to give me your 8 at the moment, but you can if you like. Give me your grand finalists.
All right, West Coast, Richmond.
Yeah, I'm going Richmond, Essendon. I'm going one out of the box here. I think there'll be the big mover this year, Essendon. I think you look at the back half of last year is pretty impressive. Had a horrible start to the year. So I just think Danaher stands up. They're going to be a really good side. A couple of impressive inclusions. West Coast, what worries me, I would certainly have them in my 4, unlike last year when I didn't have them in my 8. I got sucked in by the preseason game.
I only just had them in my 12.
Put my hand up big time, got sucked in by preseason form, which is just a rookie error. Never done that in the past. I don't know why I did last year. But anyway, I won't be making that mistake this year. I just worry they're hard. Back-to-back's really hard. And I think Richmond found that out last year. They're really hard to – I mean, Richmond, you could argue they did everything but, because they just got a bit ahead of themselves, I think, against Collingwood in the final. Mm. Notwithstanding, Collingwood's great effort. But I just think they got ahead of themselves a bit. Very hard to go back-to-back, and I think even harder to go back-to-back if you're an interstate team, and even harder if you're an interstate team from the West. It's pretty hard to do.
I agree with all of that. I think they're a mature bunch. I think they've got good, understated, moderate leadership. I think Simpson and Shannon Hearn both fit into that category. They're not people who are going to allow players to get ahead of themselves. And the other thing I think, which is a massive factor, if Nick Natanui gets up, they'll have 3 A graders to come back in.
Yep.
And I think the fact that they've won it without 3 A graders, I think, is a massive boost for them.
So he's be a silly chance mid-year, Nick Nat?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think
that'd be the earliest, though, wouldn't it?
They're feeling that this is going to be a 12-month rehab, not like the other one.
So when did he do it?
It was 2/3 of the way through.
Yeah, okay. So mid-year, silly chance.
I would say a little bit further than that. I think they'd be looking around 18, round 19, somewhere around there. Yep. But that still gives him the best part of a month of footy to get himself settled and have an impact and hopefully make a difference. I think Gaff will be a massive in for them. And I think Brad Shepherd's another massive in for them. I think that gives them a bit of scope. You know, if there's 2 or 3 players that don't come back well, don't come back hungry, the Premier tends to get targeted, so they tend to have more injuries.
And you need, I reckon with the back-to-back equation, you need those gun players who missed out.
Yeah.
Because it just, it whets the appetite of those who experienced it, and they want their mates involved. And I think that's really important with back-to-backs.
And I just think their best 10 is the best 10 in the comp.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, on paper, I'd agree with that. I think Richmond was the best side last year easily. I just think West Coast was the second best side, and I think they proved it. And that's how it unfolded, if you take Richmond out, that game against Collingwood. But I still think they're the team to beat, Richmond. It'd be really fascinating to see how Lynch and Riewoldt go in their forward 50 with the new rules in particular, or just how they're going to go, given the way their forward line's structured in the past. I think that's really fascinating with Richmond. The other team I'm worried about are the Giants. Still guns, but diluted. The squad's been diluted. Dylan Shields gone now. I just worry about that midfield. They only need a couple of injuries, and the depth they had is not there now. And that worries me about the Giants.
And they won't have their comeback ruckman until round four either. That was a bit of a...
Round four, so he misses the first two with his off-field indiscretions.
And misses another one with his on-field pre-season indiscretion.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Look, it's a long time to be out. And not just out with, he'd retired. So I guess you take that mental break.
Well, clearly he wasn't just out, he was out and about.
Wasn't that a bit earlier that was done, though?
It was. Yeah. It was actually, sorry, Mummy, it was certainly before then.
Yeah. But I think with, you know, I think there's a difference between being out through injury and being retired, making that decision to retire. It's just a long way back, I reckon, to be really interesting. He's obviously a great player. Whether he can return to that, I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sure we'll have all these discussions unfolding as the JLT Community Series gets underway, and we look at the form, and also we look at what players get injured and what players get through unscathed.
By the way, did you see my clenched teeth when I was talking about Essendon playing off in the grand final? Jeez, that hurt. Oh, that hurt.
I think you need to harden up a bit, Princess.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Don't forget, get on thegame.com.au and register.
By March 12th.
The tipping competition, the Pick 7 competition, great prize, those tickets to all the home games at Optus Stadium this year.
You and I should enter at Duff, so we won't work. We'll just sit back and have a couple of quieties.
We could go along and just sit together.
Hospitality.
And talk about the various worths of Hawthorn and Fremantle.
Well, we could do that over a couple of quiet ones, a couple of mid-strengths.
Yes.
Maybe not. Hospitality.
Yeah, hospitality. Yeah. You might get full strength in hospitality. All right. We'll be back on Thursday to have more discussions about JLT Community Series Round 1. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for Tab Touch for bringing us to you. Great to be back, and we'll be talking to you again later this week.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.